Well, good morning, everyone. If we've not met yet, my name is Matt, and happy Easter, everybody. Yeah, it's good to have you here with us today. I want to kind of start the message today just with a thought that I had. I was writing the message this week, and I kind of got to towards the end of the message, and I thought, this message is probably something that you've heard a million times. If you've attended an Easter service at all, at any point in your life, today's message is not going to be a whole lot different than what you've previously heard. And I doubt you'll hear anything today that you didn't already know, but kind of reflecting back on the past message series that we've been doing, a lot of this information isn't new information. But today isn't about new information. Today is about remembrance, which is the act of recalling, honoring, or commemorating past events, people, services, even memorials, tokens, or reflections. So today is about reflecting on the greatest story that's ever been told, the story of the gospel of Christ. And so if you've been with us for the past few weeks, we've been kind of diving into this series called Not My Will. How many of you have enjoyed this series up to this point? Yeah. It's been probably one of my favorite series that we've ever done. And today we're going to talk about salvation and the cross. Crosses have always been pretty interesting to me. So growing up, a lot of my favorite like sports figures all wore like these big cross necklaces. If you were a fan of, especially like baseball back in the 90s, like every single sports figure, they would unbutton their jersey just a little bit, you know, just to like to show a little bit right here. And then they had to have those big old crosses, like those gold crosses on their necks, and all this jewelry. We see also like, there was a point where all these actors and actresses, they were wearing these giant crosses on their necklaces, and they were all blinged out with gold and diamonds. And then we see like time and time again, how many of you know who Aaron Neville is? Aaron Neville, anybody? A couple of you? Yeah, okay, he's an old singer. That dude just straight up got a tattoo on his face of a cross, like this big old cross, and it's not even straight. I don't understand, like, I'm like, if you're going to get your face tattooed, at least get it straight. I don't know. But we see time and time again that people wear these crosses. They represent the crosses on their bodies. They tattoo them on themselves. They wear the jewelry. We see this over and over and over again. And I always was really confused when I was a kid because to me, the cross was a torture device. So I'm like, should I go get like a necklace of an electric chair? Like, would that be today's equivalent of wearing a cross? Like, and so I was always confused because there was this cross, this thing that the Romans used to torture people, essentially, and to kill people. And we're like wearing it around with like diamonds on it and be like, boom, I'm gonna show you my cross, you know? Look, I just got this new cross. And so as a kid, I didn't really understand why people would want to wear these things. But as I got older, I started to realize that the cross was not simply where Jesus died. It was where everything changed. It's where God was fully obeyed in that moment, where love was fully revealed. The cross is this beautiful intersection where this perfect obedience, this perfect spotless lamb, he submitted himself with perfect love to the cross. And from the outside looking in, it looked like defeat. It looked like this movement of Christ had been stomped out, that it had been killed. It looked like defeat. But today, we saw the greatest victory that's ever been won. The cross may look like defeat, but it's actually victory. So if you have your Bibles with you today, go ahead and turn them to Luke 23. We're going to be in Luke quite a bit today, so you guys can kind of follow along if you would like. We use the NIV version, so there may be some wording differences in some of your Bibles, but that's okay. All right, Luke 23, 32 through 43. It says, two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called Golgotha, or the skull, they crucified him there along with the other criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, he saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one. The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, if you are really the king of the Jews, then save yourself. There was a written notice above him which read, this is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, saying, aren't you the Messiah? Why don't you save yourself and us? But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what we deserved. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him and said, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. I don't know if you've watched The Chosen, if you've seen some of these scenes or watched The Passion of the Christ, or gone to like First Assembly in Russellville, their passion play. But there's so many like scenes where we can actually visualize and picture what's happening in this moment. Because you've got these three crosses. Two are criminals, and then you've got Jesus. The first cross is the cross of rebellion. It was the criminal who was mocking Jesus, who was bitter, who was hardened, who couldn't open himself up for belief at all. The second cross was the cross of repentance. It was the second criminal who asked for forgiveness. This criminal was humble. He was aware that he was getting what he deserved. But then he turned to Jesus in the third cross, which is the cross of redemption, which is Jesus himself. See, we have one criminal saying, why don't you save yourself? Like, what if you are this almighty, powerful being, if you are who you say that you are, why don't you just save yourself? You don't have to die. You don't have to go through this. And while you're at it, if you don't mind, can you please save us too? But the other criminal simply says, Jesus, will you remember me? What faith this man must have had to have such a hard life, to be a criminal for so long, and then in those last moments, ask a figure like Jesus to remember him. I can think back to like these moments where in the recovery world, when they have a funeral, there's all these recovering addicts that come and they support each other and they do all these things. But oftentimes at these funerals, you don't really see people's families because they're not really remembered, because they were criminals. They were lesser than. We see them as not humans or not people. And so in this moment at the cross, I can just visualize that these criminals, they don't have anyone there with them, no family members, nobody to support them, nobody that is crying out for them, nobody that cares for them. And yet in that moment, this criminal thinks to ask Jesus, will you remember me? See, these three crosses, they explain most of humanity today. You have people who are hardened, who are bitter, who could care less about what their actions, the consequences of their actions, or what they're doing. You've got these people who just, they don't want to understand. They don't want to give you the benefit of the doubt. They don't want to care for anyone. And they can't seem to find the value of the cross. And then you have others who are humble, who turn towards Jesus, who is our salvation and redemption. John 19:30 says, "When he had received the drink, Jesus said, 'It is finished.' And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit." At the cross, Jesus declares, "It is finished." And that word in Greek, it means paid in full. It means that I am done. I have completed my work. Not partially, not almost, not you finish the rest, but paid in full. Last week, we talked about the sacrificial offerings in the lamb, and I'm not going to go super deep into this because you can go back and listen to that message on our website. But we talked about the sacrificial lamb and how Christ became the ultimate sacrifice to pay for our sins. But luckily for us, Jesus' story does not end with his death. The story didn't end on Good Friday. His story continues. In Luke 23, again, 44 through 47, something amazing happens. It says, "It was about noon, and the darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon, for the sun had stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two, and Jesus called out in a loud voice, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' And when he said this, he breathed his last breath. And the centurion, the Roman soldier, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, 'Surely this was a righteous man.'" The veil of the temple was torn in two. And to us, that might just seem like a symbolic gesture that was happening. But to them, the Jews in that time, this was like an earth-shaking moment for them. It was so much so that a Roman centurion or a soldier is so shaken by this gesture, by this moment, that he immediately believes in Christ. Because the veil was separated. The veil was what separated regular people like you and I from God. And only the holiest of people could go into the temple to go in there and speak to God on your behalf. But when the veil was torn, God's presence flooded the earth. It came out of the temple through Christ so that you and I can have that one-on-one relationship with him. When Jesus died, the veil, it tore from top to bottom. And if you read Hebrews 9 and 10, the chapters 9 and 10, it says that we now have the confidence to enter in to the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, that you and I can be made whole again and right with Christ through the blood of Jesus, that you don't have to go to a priest to get to God. You don't need a system to reach out to him. Jesus made a direct way for you and I to have a relationship with him. And so as we're talking about the cross, we're talking about salvation, I think sometimes we overcomplicate the word salvation. I think we overcomplicate this idea that you and I can have a relationship with God because we try to put all these rules in place. We're like, oh, you have to do this in order to have salvation. You have to do this in order to have salvation. Like, we complicate this system so much, and I don't understand why we complicate it. And it was funny, I had actually put like salvation, I would put like a little definition like a good speaker does, like you have to define something, right? And so I'd put all this in, and then I laughed at myself after the second time I read through it because I'm like, I'm still overcomplicating it, right? It's simple. Salvation is simple. It's having a relationship with God through Christ, period. End of sentence. You don't need me. You don't need Carrie. You don't need Laura or Mike or anyone else in this room to have that relationship. You don't need a priest. You don't need a king. You don't need a system. You don't need a government to have salvation. All you need is Christ and his blood. The cross wasn't, just suffering. It was an enthronement of Christ to the right hand of the Father. See, the world saw humiliation. They made fun of him. They put a sign above him. They mocked him. But heaven in this moment saw a glorification of a king. And when Jesus said, "Not my will, but yours," that led to the resurrection power that he now possesses to give you that salvation. This is the turning point for everything. It's the turning point for everything. It's the turning point for how we can communicate with God. And what looked like death became the doorway for you and I to have life. And just like the criminal on the cross, you don't need a perfect past, a cleaned up, more efficient life. Like I hear people say all the time, "Well, yeah, I'll get right with God after I get rid of my addiction, or I'll get right with God after I stop lusting after people, or I'll get right with God later in life because right now I just want to have fun." And that's not it. It's not about your sin. It's not about what you have done. It's about right relationship with God. So today you're standing here. Well, you're sitting here. Excuse me, I'm standing, you're sitting. And you have these same three choices. Roy, sit down. The question is, will you reject him? Will you reject him like the criminal who mocked him? Because you're so hardened, your heart is so hardened, and you are so afraid to let go of control that you mock people, that you just don't allow yourself to open up. Will you ignore him like this criminal, or will you respond like the repentant thief and say, "Not my will, God, but yours"? When God's will was fulfilled through Christ, your salvation was secured. So the question is simple. What will you do with the cross, and which cross will you live out of? In Matthew 28, 1 through 10, it says, "After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary and the other Mary went to look in the tomb. But there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it." That's a whole scene, right? Like, wow. "His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men." I love that line. And it's just like frozen, right? They're just like, what's happening right now? "The angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified, but he is not here, for he is risen.'" Woohoo. "Just as he said, 'Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid and filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met with them." Just out of the blue. Thank you, Steve. You got it. He just met with them, like just appeared out of nowhere. He met with them. Poof, there he is. "Greetings," he said. They came to him and clasped his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and they will see me there. I love this scripture so much because there's so much depth there. And I think this year, more than any other year, I've really understood the depth of what they're saying in this scripture and the depth of this Easter season. And I think of a lot of it has to do with just the series of learning and growing. And as we're preparing for messages, we're digging into a lot of deep content that we're learning ourselves as we go along. And we were watching The Chosen, I think it was it last week? Last week. And in season five, there's this message or this TV show. What is it called? The series, and then there's a show, like in the series. It's called Two Sides of the Same Coin. And there was this clip that they start with this clip, and I loved it so much. I was like, Carrie, what is that? Like, what's the tradition? What are they doing here? She's like, I don't really know, but we'll look it up. So she looked it up. She told me, and then I immediately forgot what it was. But then at the end of the episode, they do it again, but in a different way. And it's really, really powerful. And so today, what I wanted to do was I wanted to show you these two clips. And what this is it's called the Dianu. The Dianu is this traditional Hebrew song that is sung during the Passover Seder. The word itself translates to, it would have been enough. And it lists 15 distinct miracles that were performed by God during Exodus. And it's spanning from the liberation of Egypt to the building of the temple, expressing that every single act in itself alone would have been sufficient, that it would have been enough. And so every Passover Seder, practicing Jews would recite the Dianu in remembrance of what God had already done for his people. So I'm going to play the first clip from this episode. That's the traditional Dianu. I want you to keep in mind that you won't find this in Scripture, but this was a Jewish tradition that would have been done every single Passover. So this is a clip from the Last Supper of them doing the Dianu. Let's watch that together. It wrecks me every time I watch this because Big John at the end, his idea or this idea that he adds to this Jewish custom that he adds to this idea that Christ is on a journey with each of us. And it's this powerful moment because in this moment, they've been saying the same thing over and over and over for hundreds of years, practicing this, because the idea of the Dianu is that it's enough. Like, if Christ died on the cross for our salvation, it would have been enough. That if he didn't do anything else in our lives, anything else good, if we had the worst life in human history, the fact that Christ died for us, it would have been enough. And that's why this clip wrecks me so much, because Christ is asking us to go with him, to have a relationship with him. And guess what? It's not the end of what God is going to do for you. But if it is, it's still enough. It's still enough. If he had only blank, it would have been enough. And so at the end of this episode, once again, this is not scriptural. This is Dallas Jenkins, who's the creator of the show. He took some liberties with the show, right? There's this clip of these women, and they do their own Dianu, and it's all about Christ. And so to set this up for you, the first woman who speaks is Jesus' mother. And then you have both Marys, and you have Martha, and who else? Who's the other character? Anyways, there's some characters. Who is it, Jared? Tamar, thank you. Tamar. So they do their own Dianu, so I want you to watch this. So in this clip, these women, they're saying the Dianu, but they're bringing it back
to the moment that they first encountered Christ and saying, if you had just called me to walk with you, it would have been enough. And my favorite one is Mary, Jesus' mother, when she basically says, if you were just my son, it would have been enough. But you're not. You're more than that. You're not just my son. You're my savior. And it's such a beautiful moment that these women have with Jesus. And once again, it's not scriptural, but it could have happened, right? But I love this idea of practicing the die in you, because it's this idea that we can remind ourselves when we're struggling, when we're hurting, when we're in pain, when we don't know where to turn, when we are going through a hard time or having a bad day, that we can stop for just a moment and think back to that moment where Christ changed our lives and say, you know what? Even if you just called me to follow you, it's enough. It's enough for me to live another day. It's enough for me to want to follow you. It's enough for me to want my life to be more like yours. And that's the beauty of salvation. That's the beauty of this story. That's the beauty of this die in you, is that it reminds us once again, if only he had done this thing, it would have been enough. So I'm going to give you some instructions on what we're going to do next, because it may take a minute to kind of get everything going. But Prudence and Liam are going to come by. They're going to hand you a piece of paper. And what we're going to do today is we're going to make our own die in you. And we're going to write out as many as you want. But I have three things. And it says, if only he had, there's a blank, that you're going to fill something in. And then you're going to say, it would have been enough, okay? So as they hand these papers out, take some time. I want you to reflect on this for just a moment. I want you to fill that out. The worship team's going to come back up. We're going to do a song while you guys are reflecting and praying on this. And then after the song is over, I want you to be prepared to share maybe one of your die in yous. If you don't want to, you don't have to. But Carrie will kind of instruct you on how to do that in just a minute. But they're going to pass these around for you guys. I want you to write something in those blanks as we sing another song. Carrie's going to grab a box of Kleenexes to bring up to the stage with everybody so that the worship team will have plenty of Kleenex up here. And I brought mine as well. And so fill that out. And we're going to do some more worship here.